At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
I'm John Batchelor. This is the new John Batchelor Show, CBS Audio Network. I welcome Michael Yon, war correspondent, at Michael_Yon. He is in Panama City. He is returned from the jungle of Darien Province. He is here to report on what he learned going into the jungle, filling his river shoes with mud, spending 4 days in the heat and the water and the jungle of the Ambara people, the indigenous people of both sides of the border, Colombia, Panama. Remember, Panama used to be a province of Colombia, so this is all Colombia, but Panama is now a sovereign state. Michael's in Panama City safely. However, we need to recount what he learned in these last days about who is coming through the Darien Gap, the 60 miles of unpaved, unmarked, uncharted jungle that leaves the Panama Highway in Colombia and picks up the Panama Highway in Panama. There's a gap. You must walk it. It's rough, hilly, water-soaked, and filled with robbers and gangsters and other bad actors. However, Michael, a very good evening to you. What you've learned is that the dangers do not stop the immigrants. They keep coming. And you visited the place they first arrive when they come through the Darien Gap after walking for several days, and then what happens to them, how they're deployed by the Panama border guards. Let's start with you're coming out of the jungle. You are from Senegal, or you're from Chile, or you're from the Congo or Nepal. The first place you meet is Bajo Chiquito. What does that look like? Good evening to you, Michael.
Good evening, John. Bajo Chiquito is a very interesting village. In many ways, it's like any other village out there, beyond electricity and beyond phone connections. It's just an Embera village, an Indian village. Now, we came up on a canoe, and as we came up, there were so many migrants bathing in the river, like packs of migrants in different places, and they would wave. They were smiling. You know, some were naked. Men, women, and children bathing in the river because, you know, they'd just walked very far in the jungle and finally they could bathe in safety, without fear of being ambushed out there. And, you know, so we continued to go with the canoe and finally came to Bajo Chiquito and walked up the muddy hill and into the village, and you could smell it. The smell offered itself immediately because there's a lot of, usually the Embera villages actually don't smell. They don't stink. I've been in about a dozen of them. But Bajo Chiquito does. There's so many immigrants there throwing trash around and that sort of thing. It kind of reeks.
How do the people live? What do the houses or the shelters look like, Michael?
The homes for the Embera, they're stilt homes made from wood, thatch huts. Often they will have, small televisions in many cases, that they use. They have solar, so they'll have batteries, and some will actually have generators, but they're way beyond the grid.
Right.
And each Embera village will have one telephone, that goes on solar and has a satellite connection. And, so it looks like a normal pay telephone though. So that's the only communication they have other than Centerfront will be out there as well.
Centerfront is the Panama Border Patrol. Are you now in Bajo Chiquito? Are you now in Panama territory? Have you crossed the line?
Oh yeah, you're deep in Panama. You're definitely in the Darien Gap at that point, but you're in Darien Province and you are in the Darien Gap, but you're deep, deep in Panama.
Now, here at Bajo Chiquito, there are things for sale. What does the store look like?
It's a smart, you know, pretty sparse store. They do have refrigerators, though. They have actually Gatorade and water and various, the kind of the cheapest sort of soft drinks that you can get, South American sort of brands. None come to mind. You know, a few candies and that sort of thing. just, you know, they sold onions. There were, you can buy chickens, of course. There's just chickens everywhere here. And, so, I mean, there, you know, the basic essentials are there. The people that come out of the dairy and typically have no money because they've been robbed. And so at that store, you can get MoneyGram or, Western Union.
How do you do that? I mean, they're in communication with the outside via internet. Is that it?
Yeah, I asked that specifically because so many of them are robbed of their phones. Some do come out with their phones, others are not. But the store will let them use their phone because the store makes 20% on the Western Union or the MoneyGrams. They make, it's right on the sign, 20% commission. So, you know, and they said, you know, often the people that come out will get $2,000, $3,000, $4,000. So you're way out in the jungle here, way beyond everything, and they've got that kind of cash out in the jungle. It's pretty amazing.
So Bajo Chiquito is making profit on the people coming out of the Darien Gap because they must use the Western Union to acquire money. What kind of money? What is the currency, Michael?
U.S. dollars. Panama goes on U.S. dollars. And that one store, there's more than one store in Bajo Chiquito that has Western Union and MoneyGram. I don't know the total number, but it's at least two, but I think several actually. And so our best guess at this time, well, before, I'm not even going to guess yet. We're going to get to the bottom of this, and right, we're going to figure out how much money is coming through there.
All right. It's a large amount of money coming into a village that's beyond the grid. Now, the Panamanian Border Patrol are present at Bajo Chiquito. But they know the migrants are coming through, and they assign them refugee camps. Where are they, and what are they?
There's two refugee camps, and I've been to one of them six times, and I was at the other one this morning. One refugee camp is called Lajas Blancas, and that one is you can go by canoe from Bajo Chiquito. It costs $40 per person. The canoes will sit 10 people, so it's a $400, you know, boatload, and they take the migrants down to that detention center, and they are in process. They walk up on their own. They're not, for instance, under guard and gun. I mean, there's really nowhere for them to go except the camp, and that's their safest refuge anyway, so they're happy to actually go to the camp.
How long is the trip from Bajo Chiquito to the camp? You said it was Lajas Blancas.
Yeah, actually, I'll need to look at a satellite picture to see, because the way that I did it is not the way that they do it. We went down a very muddy road for many miles, got four trucks stuck, and then we got on a boat, and then we got on a canoe. But they get on a canoe and go all the way down by canoe.
I think I've seen pictures of these canoes. These are dugout canoes, right? Made out of out of timber, out of a log. They've carved out of seats. Is that what they traveled in?
That's right. They chop down a giant tree and they'll make the canoe out in the jungles because you can't carry that giant tree up to the village. So they'll make the boats where the tree falls, and they're very heavy boats. I've been in many of them, and that's what they load you up in and take you down there. And there's not going to be any life jackets, by the way. And these are some interesting rivers.
All right. Let's meet the people who are coming through the jungle, who reach Bajo Chiquito, and then the Border Patrol puts them in dugout canoes and takes them to Lajas Blancas. Michael, I'm going to read a list of countries where the authorities have recorded these people come from in the course of a day. This is just one day. The total is 289, and I'll ask you, did you see or meet anybody from these countries? The first is Haiti. This is a big number. You saw a lot of Haitians. Is that correct, Michael?
Right. That's 289 Haitians, but the entire number that day just from San Vicente camp was 373.
All right. 373, 289 Haitians, 166 males, 90 females, 20 female underage unaccompanied children, 11 unaccompanied or children boys, 289 total. Did you see anyone from Angola or Venezuela, Michael?
Not yesterday. Well, of course, I see so many people, I can't ask all of them because, you know, you can see yesterday it was 373, you know, so I can't ask them all.
Right, right.
But, you know, yeah.
Bangladesh, India. You've lived in Nepal. Did you see any Indian, any obvious Indian subcontinent?
I did not see any obvious Indians yesterday, and I did spend almost a year in India, so I can spot them quite readily. Uh-huh. For instance, I did spot a Sikh in the Darien Gap in Colombia about a month and a half ago.
Now, this surprises me. Chile and Brazil. Chile, 33 total coming from Chile. That's a prosperous country. All of these people are headed to North America. Is that correct, Michael? I should have made that clear. They're all planning to traverse the whole of Central America and reach the Mexican-American border and get into America. Is that correct, Michael?
Yes, except for the one that I talked about recently who was doing it only for adventure, right, the Ecuadorian. Right. But notice the ones from Chile. Those are boys. Those are boys and girls, 13 girls and 19 boys, and only one adult male.
Right. They look like unaccompanied children. That's very suspicious. Brazil, one young female and three young males, no adults with them. So they're traveling by themselves. Perhaps they're 16 or 17. You know, we classify you as an unaccompanied child if you're under 18. So perhaps they're older. Now, we come to no one from Nigeria, Ecuador, Cameroon, China, Togo, Benin, Mali, Ethiopia, but 15 from Cuba. Did you see Cubans, Michael?
Every day.
No one from Senegal, Somalia, although you met a Senegalese the other day. That was the big fellow who told you how he'd come from Senegal to Brazil to Ecuador to Colombia, and then you met him coming out of the jungles. Do I remember correctly?
That's correct. You got a good memory.
All right. And the Republic of Dominican Republic, one female only. From Nepal, look at this, Michael. Six adult males, one adult female from Nepal. So there must be a flow of Nepalese. This couldn't be the people you met initially a couple of weeks ago.
I'm wondering, because you notice that number is seven, and I told you it was seven or eight that I met in Colombia, but they've certainly been out there a long time.
Yeah, they've lived in the jungle, it's been so long. And then we have Zimbabwe, one. We have USA one. Michael, what is a citizen of the USA going through the Darien Gap? Does this make any sense?
This is a great mystery, and I want to get to the bottom of this if we can. Why is there an American on this list? I mean, because these are people that were detained coming out of the Darien Gap.
Right.
That's kind of strange.
Now, this is one day in one book, in one of the two camps, a total of 373. I know we don't have a total, Michael, but that challenges the idea that we originally had that there were 7,000 in 3 months. This would be more like 7,000 to 9,000 in 1 month if this is a typical day. Did anyone suggest to you that this was an unusual day when you saw these people coming through?
No, and I specifically asked that. You know how I am. So I'm running it down saying, is this normal? How many per month? How many? One of the things, though, about many of the Panamanians is they generally won't estimate like a month. They'll just tell you day to day, and they're kind of vague with the numbers. And they're not trying to be sketchy. That's just the way they communicate. So it's not like I'm talking with a scientist who speaks with precision.
I'm speaking with Michael Yan, a war correspondent. We're talking about his time in the jungle of the Darien Gap with the Ambara people, who are very organized. They're the indigenous people. They've lived there for, to our knowledge, hundreds, if not thousands of years. They're descendants of the original Americans. And we're looking at the names and details of people taking everything, taking every risk there is to come to America. When we come back, what next for these people? Where are they headed? I'm John Batchelor. This is the new John Batchelor Show, CBS Audio Network.